Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church Savannah, Georgia. We are so glad that all of you were able to join us for the worship of God this day. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later. And if you are a guest this morning, we especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better following worship today. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? We are people who have been called to follow where God leads us. We are people who have been challenged to tell God's story to others. We are God's children who are invited to feast at the table of grace. Let us worship God together. The Lord be with you.
And let us pray together. God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God of Sarah and Mary and Lydia, we, along with all of creation, come together to praise you for the beauty that is within us and for the covenant you made with all of us. We, your flock of young and old, male and female, rich and poor, strong and weak, are not afraid, for we know that it is your desire to make this on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you might teach us to be as faithful as Abraham and Sarah, as trusting as your many disciples, and as open to your call and your desires as your prophets. Help us also to long and to work for what is better and not settle for less than your vision for creation. May we work with you to bring about a new dawn for all of your children. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. join with me as together we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lesson comes from Genesis chapter 15, the first six verses, as rendered in the New Living Translation. This passage is often referred to as God's covenant promise to Abram. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith.
Our second lesson this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as is a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
The gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Luke chapter 12 and beginning to read at verse 32. Words of Jesus. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, or near dawn, he finds them so. Blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the written word of the Lord. Several years ago, while I was on sabbatical one summer in England, I received communion at Durham Cathedral, where Christians have worshiped God since the year 1093 AD. It was a profound experience for me, and I think especially to be surrounded in that sacred space by a host of other faithful believers who have followed Jesus Christ now for more than 900 years. One of the persons I met while in Durham was the Reverend Dr. John Pritchard, at the time the Bishop of Jarrow in the Church of England. And he told us in the conference a wonderful story about what it means for us to learn from the great saints of God who have preceded us in this life. As the story goes, there was a convent of nuns which had been ably led by a mother superior for many years, but now this dear saintly woman of God was near to death. Several of the nuns in the convent gathered at her bedside, and one of them asked her, "Mother, is there anything we can get for you?" And Mother replied that what she would like more than anything else was some warm milk. Well, one of the nuns was dispatched to get the warm milk, and while she was in the kitchen, she thought to herself, "Now Mother is about to die. What could it hurt?" And so she quietly poured into the milk a little Irish whiskey. The milk was brought to Mother Superior, and she took a sip. Her eyes lit up a bit, and she took another sip, and then a good bit more, and then she finally downed the whole lot before settling back into bed. And so now, with all of the nuns gathered around her bedside, one of them finally asked, "Mother, would you share with us your wisdom now?" And then Mother Superior raised up on her right elbow, and she looked out the window to the distant hills, and she said, "Don't sell that cow." There are only some things in life that are learned within religious community. And there are certain lessons which are best taught to us by the great saints of God who go before us. The New Testament book of Hebrews and its roll call of the faithful in chapter 11 makes just that point. The writer was really preaching a sermon to Jewish Christians who were struggling to live out their young faith within a first century context of great difficulty and hardship and even opposition. In doing so, he asked them not to forget Abraham and Sarah, the father and mother of their nation, who were called out to receive an inheritance that they could not yet hold in their hands. He invited them to recall the command of the Lord to Abram in Genesis 12. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. But where was that inheritance? Abraham and Sarah, they must have looked around and it was nowhere in sight. There was no land. There was as yet no offspring, nothing on paper, no contract, no guarantee. Only one thing. The word of the Lord that they would receive and become great. But at first glance, there was little or nothing there. Some of you may remember that William Least Heat Moon's book entitled Blue Highways, A Journey into America, was quite popular several years ago. It's the story of a Native American's travels on the back roads of America. The title comes from the fact that he traveled the highways that are blue on the road maps. Blue highways. I loved what he had to say about Crockett County, Texas, just off Texas Highway 29. It was a place that apparently looked so empty, so barren, that even a religious man would believe in God, that God never got around to the creation there. It was a big collection of nothing. But then Least Heat Moon looked more carefully, and he made a list of nothing in particular, as he said. Mockingbird, mourning dove, enigma bird, gray flies, blue bumblebees, two circling buzzards, orange ants, black ants, orange and black ants. What's been going on here? He wrote. Three kinds of spiders, the skull of an opossum, jackrabbit, deer, coyote, small rodent, snake, prickly cactus, hedgehog cactus, barrel cactus, devil's pincushion, cat claw, two species of grass, yellow flowers, sage, mesquite, greasewood, fir, earth, sky, wind. And then he wrote, that was all the nothing I could identify then. Now, haven't all of us done this in our lives at one point or another? We conclude that there is little or nothing of value in a person or a situation or an opportunity. And so we tend to give up on it. We opt out. Don't you think that Abraham and Sarah were tempted to do that too? I think surely they must have been. But to their great credit, though, they took their inheritance, which on the surface appeared to be a big collection of nothing, and they held it with care. They cherished it. And then they did two other things. The Bible says they were venturesome. They went out not knowing where to go. And secondly, they were obedient. They obeyed when they were called. They took a chance and had some faith. With no prospect to speak of on the horizon, they still believed. A friend of ours who lives in another state told us not all that long ago a story which particularly caught my attention. It seems as though his young daughter came to him one day with a question. And it was, "Daddy, have you seen the circus tickets yet?" He had not. And he was curious as to what she might see in them. "They're beautiful," the little girl said. And so my friend got the tickets and he held them in his hand and he looked at them. He studied them closely and he found that they were ordinary enough looking tickets. They were tickets to a circus printed on an impersonal computer. But what intrigued him the most was this profound sense of excitement and anticipation that his young daughter could have over something that she had not yet seen or experienced. It was as if she possessed the ability to see beyond those small pieces of paper to clowns with baggy pants and a tent full of colorful horses and lions and tigers and flying trapeze artists and a ringmaster with a big booming voice. The book of Hebrews says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And as the great persons of faith constantly remind us, we do not always see the things that we believe in. But the life of faith helps us to know what to look for. Now, this was the struggle of Abraham and Sarah. They had been given a land of promise, which on the surface didn't seem to present much in the way of hope. Reread sometime their story in Genesis, the story of their journey to the promised land. They arrived there, and it was full of what they would have thought of as foreigners. They couldn't call it their own. There was no home. There were as yet no descendants. The only things that Abraham and Sarah could buy were cemetery plots with which to bury each other. And so Abraham and Sarah lived in a tent like sojourners in an alien land. And they must have wondered, don't you know it? They must have wondered, is this it? Is this really it? Is this what God has given to us? If the first obstacle was the question of whether or not to go, then I think the second hurdle was whether or not to stay once they arrived. But they did. Are you at all familiar with this life story of Charles Warner McCleary, the missionary to Cameroon at the turn of the last 20th century? I've been reading his life story and some of his correspondence in recent weeks. Just as he was about to return to West Africa after his first furlough in the United States, McCleary stood before his home church in Crawfordsville, Iowa. Imagine that. And said these words, "You know how it is in building a large bridge. Many foundation stones must be buried down deep, out of sight, before the bridge can be erected. If God wants me to be one of the foundation stones buried in darkest Africa, I am content. I would be glad to go." And he did. 6 months after returning to Eilat, he was dead from fever. But his work lived on. His widow gave her life there as well. And the church at Eilat became a flourishing center for the gospel of Jesus Christ for that entire region of West Africa. Sometimes in this life of faith, you may be tempted to forsake the cause, or you may be persuaded to give up on your commitment. The thing that you hold in your hand may not appear to be the promise that God told you it was going to be. But the good news about Abraham and Sarah is that you can still see the promise of faith. If you can still see it, if you can search for it. The writer of Hebrews says that Abraham and Sarah were looking for a city that they never saw with human eyes. How do you suppose that these two people ever expected to endure in that kind of forbidding wilderness? They had no promise of resurrection. There was not as yet a city called Jerusalem. There was not much of a city to speak of anywhere nearby, let alone one populated by all the descendants God had promised them. How were they to live in that type of environment? What do you do to survive while remaining within a challenging life situation? How do you continue with the ambiguity of an illness, or a troubled marriage, or a job that is less than satisfying to you? I think you live by letting your imagination focus on the hope which is there, and by letting your mind be captured by a vision of what is possible. In other words, you look for the circus in the tickets. Abraham and Sarah did that. They looked to the future held by God, and they saw a city, the heavenly Jerusalem, whose builder and maker was God. And in that place were all of their descendants to follow. They believed. They had a conviction about things yet unseen. I love that line by Henry Miller. Our destination is never a place, but a new way of looking at things. That was the spirit, you see, of those two Hebrew ancestors who kept moving forward into their future. And it is the spirit of Christian faith which beckons us, like that character Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. We cannot always discern the way ahead, but we know by faith the one who walks with us and who helps us to see all of the possibilities which tomorrow holds. I believe, friends, that the life of faith that we are living together in this place is leading all of us to become deeper and stronger and more committed disciples of Jesus Christ. And I believe that sometime in this century ahead of us, whether it is 5 years from now or 50 years from now, members of a strong and vibrant First Baptist Church are going to look over their shoulders and say about us, those people were found to be faithful. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. We confess that too much of the time we are controlled by the way things appear to us rather than the way things appear to you. So fill us today with the power of new vision, so that with Abraham and Sarah and others still, we may lead lives of faith which will honor you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Surrounded as we are by so great a cloud of witnesses, we pray for the fulfillment of God's promise to us in our own time. First, silently, and then by offering the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray together. O God, we pray for the church and the world. Help us to proclaim the mystery of faith and our conviction in the gospel of Jesus Christ and our assurance of new life found in Him. Give us faith this day, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things yet unseen, and make us ready for our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy, Oh God, we pray for the world all around us. Be the help and shield of those who suffer this day in famine or as a result of warfare or ethnic cleansing. Let your steadfast love be upon them all. Lord, in your mercy. Yeah. Oh God, we pray for this community of faith. Teach us always to do good, to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, to defend the helpless, and to plead for those who are forsaken. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for loved ones here at home, but also in distant places. Watch over them all with your loving eye to deliver them from trouble, so that their hearts may soon rejoice in you and they may know your comfort and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, strengthen all of us to run the race that is set before us, laying aside heavy burdens of sin and death, and following the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, even Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, who taught his disciples to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
By faith, we understand that everything seen and everything we had was made by God. By faith, we also bring these things, especially ourselves, to make earth as it is in heaven. May we give to spread the joy of God's kingdom to all. us pray. Life-giving God, by faith we obey your call to set before you the promise and inheritance of who we are and what we have, which you have first given to us in love. May our humble offerings be pleasing in your sight and multiply, as many as the stars in heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore, for the good of all of creation. May all of our lives be lived as gifts and out of love for who you are and who we are in you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. One act of faith for us is coming to this table, the table of Christ, and not only receiving Christ's promise to us, but also making a promise to continue working in his name in a world that can often be scary and uncertain. All who belong to Christ Jesus are invited to come to this table and participate in this symbol that reminds us of who he was and who he is, and who he is to come. Now, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus, according to his custom, was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And at this particular meal, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. the body of our Lord, broken for us all.
Scripture also records that in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for us all. Scripture also says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now, as it is each Sunday in our church. If you would respond to this invitation by professing your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or would come expressing a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place, as we stand to sing this hymn, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Thank you. be seated. We welcome those who may be worshiping with us today as guests. Each Sunday, it seems we have different persons from different parts of the United States and from around the world. And today, that is probably also the case. If you are a visitor among us, know how welcome you are and how much we would look forward to meeting you following this service. Quickly, by way of announcement, I have it on very good authority that both Billy and Nellie Jones are celebrating their 96th birthdays this week. Billy today and Nellie soon to come. We congratulate them on this accomplishment and wish them well. Also, on Communion Sundays at First Baptist Church, many of you know we receive a benevolent offering which goes to meet emergency needs right here in our own community. If you would like to share in that good ministry, you will find ushers in the narthex following this service to receive your gifts. Also, following worship today, there will be a fellowship hour in Lewis Hall, which is located just across Whitaker Street on the first floor of our education building. Please join us for this time of refreshment and conversation, sponsored as always by members of the Fellowship Task Force. And finally, we look forward to our Wednesday night gathering for this month to be held on Wednesday night, August 17, when we will share together a fellowship meal beginning at 5:30 and then hear a report from our children on their recent experiences at Vacation Bible School. Join us if you will. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction, and then following the prayer, stand to sing the congregational response. Let us pray. And now may God give you wisdom never to sell yourselves short, courage to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. May God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and work through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.